simple because it's just a simple web server. What happens is when you put a directory here, that becomes the top of any subdirectory under it you can use and can be accessed by that web server. Nothing above it exists. That becomes the root directory for that set of web pages. So you can build things all from there down and organize your HTML any way you want. But you can't, through this web server, access anything else in a directory that doesn't have this as the first part of it. So you have some reasonable security there in a very simple structure. And you can put these in just as many as you want. That's all it takes to add a web server. Now let's take a look at FTP. FTP, in the definition here, one option you might want to have is when your FTP server comes up, sometimes you want an opening banner where you just say this is such and such a site and these directories have certain things in them or something like that. You use the FTP banner just to point to a text file, and if you have one, when they connect to your FTP site, that will show up as a banner right before it asks for their logon name. If you don't put this in, you just don't have a banner. It's pretty simple. FTP server has a number of options, and in your manual we'll tell you about all of them, but there's two FTP configuration commands, client and server. Client is really configuring the get and put directories for being able to FTP from that terminal server CMD prompt. So if you don't intend to even use that terminal server CMD prompt, you don't need to even mess with the FTP client command because you're configuring something you're not going to use. That's for FTPing out from the iPad when you connect it through the terminal server. The FTP server that you put up with an iPad, if you choose to do it, the configuration there all happens on the FTP server command. Now there's a couple of options that this command has. One is that when you can have users that do not have sufficient privilege, that when they do puts of files into your FTP server, they don't really go where they put them. You can make a directory here so that all their files go off to the side and you have to look at them and move them where they're supposed to be yourself. And that's invoked by putting put equals in a directory. If you don't put that, then everything will go straight in where they put it. If you do put this, now on their FTP authorization, you have to give them an extra option to go straight in. And people you don't give that option to, anything they put will go into that holding directory. You also have some options which are not on this one that let you limit the maximum number of simultaneous users of your FTP site, limit the maximum length of time a single FTP user can be logged on. You can even set that there can be only so many anonymous logons. Like you might allow 10 people to be on anonymous but 50 total people. But once 10 anonymouses are on, no more anonymous can log on until, you know, those other 40 slots are reserved for people that have names and passwords. So you have a lot of those options for your FTP server, and they all are on the FTP server command. On the FTP client command, what you have are these two options. And since this was all set up once again for that concept of coming from the BBS through interchange over to this command prompt, what it's saying is that if they do a get, all their files will go here, nowhere else. And if they do a put, the file has to be here or they can't send it out. And that was to prevent security problems where they couldn't just grab the CMD and then do a put of /tbbs user logs to some other machine and get your user log. And that's all what that's all about. When they come to the TBBS side, this is the only places they can be. Anything they get will go here. Anything they put will go here. You have some options for get by line that'll make subdirectories under here based on the line, but it'll still be under this directory. Yes. Okay. Yeah, normally you make this B on a shared, if you're using it in the TBBS setting, you make this get directory B on a LAN shared drive, either on a server somewhere or something, and then you make a menu entry on TBBS that makes a download area to it so they can go back to the BBS and download it. So they use the FTP to get it across the internet into this directory, and they drop out, go back to the BBS, and you make a file, a menu entry that lets them download from this directory on the BBS. Yes?
If we're not running BBS, do we need to worry about those?
No, these are only for when you use that CMD terminal server prompt, and that's predominantly going to be in a BBS connection setting. And if you're not doing that, this command has no real meaning to you whatsoever. Finger. It was easy, so the iPad has one. A finger server people stay away from because in Unix environments, finger is a huge security issue. There's about 10 different ways to hack into a Unix system if its finger is active on it. So people get really goosey about finger. That's part of why its usage has gone down. But it's basically a very simple protocol. Somebody says finger, username, @, your address. It will go to the finger server and get information that matches. The way this is implemented is, this is the directory that you put all the, just put a bunch of text files in. And if somebody says finger info @esoft.com, it'll go to this directory and look for a file called info and send it to them.
No extension.
And if they finger the system with no name, it looks for a file called banner, banner.fng. So that's the default if they just finger it with no username. If they finger it with a username, the username without an extension becomes the file they try to get. If the file's not there, it just says no information about. If the file's there, they get the file. And that's finger. That's all of it. So it's pretty simple. Now we get to mail. And mail can get real interesting. But the iPad does pretty simple presentation of mail. And if you want to contrast and compare that, you can look at send mail, which is the normal way this is done in Unix, and it's a career. And it's amazing. Basically, the concept that the iPad has is that it is either an intermediate step for mail that comes to it and it's supposed to send it on intact, just the way it is, forward at the SMTP level, or if mail stops here, it's going into a POP email box, or else it's going to something external to the iPad that's going to be some sort of mail gateway. And it also has the concept that there may be external mail gateways that will deposit mail somewhere that it's supposed to grab and send on out. It's supposed to be transporting. It doesn't know why it showed up, but if it shows up here and you find it there, then go ahead and send it. We called that gateway UUCP because the first use of it we had was with our Tiger product with TBBS. So I'm going to diagram the structure here of how the iPad sees email. The SMTP server is simply a transporter. If mail's not being sent or received, it's not in SMTP. SMTP is what actually moves it somewhere or gets it being moved from into it from somewhere. So this is mail out onto the internet and in from the internet at the transport level. To do that, SMTP has to have somewhere for the mail to come from or put it to. And mail comes to it from a UUCP gateway directory or an SMTP holding directory, which we'll get into in a little bit. When mail is received, it can be received into an SMTP holding directory, into a POP email box, or into a UUCP gateway directory. If it is received into a POP email box, the only way it comes out of there is through the POP server. That's the overall diagrammatic structure of how email works in the iPad. Let's take, without going into detail how I programmed this, let's take a couple of simple things that you do with email every day and show how email runs around these pieces. Let's say that I have a POP mailbox and I'm a caller to an iPad. I'm calling and there's a POP mailbox set up on that. When I configure something like Eudora, there are two things I put in. One is my POP name and ID, and the other is my SMTP forwarder. So let's say I'm on my Eudora and I write a message. I write a message to phil@esoft.com. I now call up my iPad to send that message with Eudora. It does not connect to the POP mail server. It connects to the SMTP server, and that message flows in through the SMTP server because phil@esoft.com is not a POP email box or a gateway thing defined as an ultimate destination here. It puts it into an SMTP forwarding directory. As soon as that message is received, then the SMTP server will see it and turn around and send it back out to where it belongs. The reason that is done is because a dial-up user could, his SMTP could have just sent it there directly. Why doesn't it? Because maybe esoft.com's down for the next hour. And the user would have to stay connected, dialed in, until it came back up to send it mail. So by going through a forwarder, he goes here, sits here, and then this will keep trying to send it until the other system can take it. If this message never gets through, let's say there's something wrong with it. Either it's got a bad address or the system's down for 3 days and never comes back, it gets bounced. When it gets bounced, what happens is on the last attempt to go out here where it finally decides it's dead and not going anywhere, it takes the message, modifies it by changing the to and the from back around to the guy who sent it, adds the little transcript piece that says at the front why it couldn't send it through, sticks it back in this directory. Now what happens is, or actually doesn't stick it there, sticks it back down here. Sticks it back down here because having bounced it, it might have to go to a POP box, or it might have to go to a gateway directory, or it might go back out on the internet to be sent somewhere. So it routes it through this decision logic of this little pin, which can put it back out in either one of those places. Let's say I'm a POP mailbox. What's going to happen? It's going to stick that bounced message in my POP box. Now let's say also, while I'm not online, I get a nice message from my friends in Venezuela, comes in over the internet through SMTP, it's received here, and after it's received, it says, oh, that's for somebody who has a POP mailbox here, so instead of sticking it up here to be sent back out, it puts it here and waits for me. So my POP box now has two messages in it. The one I tried to send that came out here, went around here a bunch of times, wore out, got bounced, and got stuck back in my POP box because my own message bounced back to me with the modified. And the other is the one that I got from Venezuela that came ripping through here and came into my POP box. Now I call back with Eudora to pick up my mail. I pick up my mail by connecting to the POP server. I log into the POP server with my POP box ID and my POP password, and it goes and checks and says, yeah, you got mail, and it extracts this mail and sends it to me. Now let's say that I've got a mail gateway over here. It could be a gateway written for MS Mail, CC Mail, or the one that we currently have that's available, which is the one Tiger for our own BBS. But the operation of these gateways is all the same, no matter what the gateways, because for the purpose of our standing, we don't care what's happening over here. We just know there's something over here that has nothing to do with internet email that has to be gatewayed to. So somebody on the other side of this gateway sends a message. They send the message to the gateway. The gateway decides it's an internet email message, reformats it into the gateway UUCP style format, and sticks it in the gateway outbound directory. SMTP wakes up on a scan, sees that message in the gateway outbound directory, and sends it out on the internet. Or, if after it tries to send it a whole bunch out on the internet, it can't do it, it'll create a bounce message and stick it back to this vector as though it was a fresh incoming message, and it does its routing to which of the three destinations it's supposed to have. Most likely, it'll come back to the gateway and be posted to the gateway to be sent back out to wherever gateway mail goes when it's out. Message comes in through SMTP for somebody who's on a gateway, sticks it in this directory. Now it's up to the gateway software to check this directory every so often, take the messages out of there, do whatever it has to do, and move them across the gateway to whatever's on the other side. That's basically what email's all about. Now, it's pretty simple if you look at any part of it, but you can already start to see considerations abound. Lots and lots of special cases. Lots and lots of, for example, one that's come up with our Tiger Gateway we're in a position to solve, but a lot of gateway software it might be an issue. What if this side of the gateway has a single domain that happens to have a few people with the same domain that have POP boxes? So Fred and Joe at esoft.com, we want their mail to be delivered through the local system on this side of the gateway. So if and Phil at esoft.com only ever gets his mail out of a POP box anymore. He's completely converted over. He's not using the mail system on this side of the gateway anymore. So what does that mean? That means if Fred sends a message to Phil, the gateway is supposed to know to do this. Whereas if Fred sends a message to Joe, the gateway never comes into play. It's not supposed to do anything but stay on this side of the wall. It's a whole different consideration, and it's a consideration not for the iPad, but for the gateway software. Because a gateway has to know whether something's on the other side of the gate or not. Now, basically, the traditional way email's done is on a Unix system with a product called Sendmail. And the reason Sendmail is a career is that I haven't begun to tell you a thousandth of the list of real considerations that come up. Because there's another consideration you might want. Why, Phil's got a POP box, but half the year he vacations in Florida. And he really wants his mail sent down here, 6 months out of the year. And actually, this is a little bit more complicated than that, because I got somebody else over here who's a company, that good old Joe's Garage. he wants to be JoeGarage.com on the internet, but he's really got a system he calls up with, which is lab.joe.com, that he's going to connect here. So whenever email comes into him for Joe's Garage, he wants it turned around and sent back out to Lab Joe's Garage. And this goes on and on and on and on. Nothing in life is as complex as email. Why? Because it's mostly human need. You're trying to serve, and humans don't ever do the same thing twice. Even if it's the same apparent thing, they're going to do it two different ways if they're doing it for two different reasons. And as in the case of the vacation, they don't want to do it the same 2 months in a row, but they want to remember how they did it so they can go back. Well, the iPad first version chose to pick off the 80% of email that's done and make it really simple. Make it incredibly simple to do the things that you mostly do. And so we're going to go through mail configuration on how that's done. Defining mail in and mail out, you're really defining the gateway input directory and a gateway output directory and the SMTP outbound directory. And what it really does, what the iPad really does, is these two to it are the same directory. So, because those are all basically messages it's supposed to send. So any messages that are dumped into that directory, which is the mail out directory, the iPad will find them and send them. Whether it dumped them in there himself because he received it and had to forward it, or whether some gateway dumped it in there. If he sees a message there, he'll send it. Mail in says, if I'm supposed to receive a message and all I have is a gateway and I'm not doing pop boxes and I'm not doing anything else, this is the only directory I have to define, and I don't have to have any authorization files. Just if I get a message, dump it in there. So basically, mail in is what you use when you don't have any authorization. Makes authorization easy. On SMTP command down there, you see scan equals and sessions equals. Scan is how many seconds should I look over here to see if there's any messages that mysteriously showed up I'm supposed to send. Sessions says, if I've got a bunch of email out there, what's the maximum number of messages I ought to try to send at the same time? You know, spawn a bunch of different connections to a bunch of different machines to try to get them all out in parallel. What's the maximum number of that I should try to do all at the same time? Now, that defines your basic mail setup. If you are going to do pop mail up on your server line, you need to turn on both SMTP to move the mail and POP3 to create the POP server over there somebody can call into to pick up their mail. The rest of mail configuration . Where's mail off in this, Chris? Comes in your mail authorization file. In your iPad control, you put a mail underbar offline, and you put the directory and name of this file. So this file can be anywhere you want it to be. It can be called anything you want to call it, because in iPad control, you put the mail offline to say that you want an authorization file for mail, and in the process you tell it what the file name is and where it is on your disk. Now what we've got here is an example of how you would set up for POP email boxes that starts to discuss the mail control file. Reject to says reject anything that matches this. That means as soon as SMTP connects and it sends the envelope that says who it's trying to send the message to, you just say, that user's not here, I don't accept that mail. And it hits here and it's just out of here. The other end's told right away, get rid of it, you can't deliver it here. UUCP is the keyword because we were thinking in terms of UUCP mail when we did this gateway. Basically means if it matches this, take the message and dump it in the gateway directory, mail in directory that you said is where UUCP mail goes. You have an option on this to put another directory name here so you can have different, you have different gateways put mail in different directories for different names if you want. Yes?
On my mail off file, on the reject to and the forward from, where you have the asterisk, whatever it says up there, there's an at sign after the asterisk. What's the purpose of that?
I'll get into that in a minute, okay? Let me lay the background and then we'll go back and do a more detailed level.
All right.
Okay? Forward from says that any message that matches this that comes in through SMT, it's okay to take the message if it matches. Take it and stick it back here so you send it back out SMTP. So you're going to receive this message and turn right around and send it back out on the internet SMTP somewhere else. POP3 says anything that matches this name and domain goes into a POP mailbox, and here's the disk address and name of the file it's going to go into. So you can put POP mailboxes wherever you want to on your disk. And here's the username and the password for the POP mail server when the user logs in to pick this mailbox up. This will be his name and his password at the POP mail level when he logs into the POP server to pick it up. Through a series of these commands, and there's a few more, but this is enough to show you the general idea, and you use your manual once you understand the structure to do some other things. Through these, you can configure most of how you want email to work. And the rest of it, of course, right now, the iPad won't do. So what you can't configure with these commands, the iPad won't do itself. Let's say that you have a POP email box. You need to be an SMTP forwarder for that person as well. You need to take their messages back in and forward them. There's a number of ways to do it. Most people who write you send mail, making your forwarder be specific to people is very difficult, so they create what's called a promiscuous forwarder. That's why you will find that if you point your SMTP at almost any provider's, it'll take your mail and forward it. He'll do the service for you for no charge. You won't even probably know he did it. Take anybody's mail and send it. But that's not what you really want to do. You don't want to have people bombing your mail system, tying it all up, sending mail, unless they're the people you want to. They're supposed to be the people they're supposed to be doing that. If you said forward from asterisk, you'd become a promiscuous mail forwarder. It means you'd accept anything from anybody. And if it didn't have any other local destination, you'd turn around and forward it. Instead, what you want is to say, anything that comes with a from address of domain.com, I'll forward. And if you're forwarding for 25 domains, you'd put 25 of these forward from commands in to list just the things that you want to forward. So that you will only accept and forward those things you say you will. An at sign in front of forward from says, I could say forward from phil@domain.com, a whole single name, and that'll be the, it has to match it all, or, and that's the only thing I'll forward. If I say *@domain.com, I've made a slight difference from *domain.com. And what's the difference? It's a key one and it's important. This would also forward anything from lab.domain.com, joe.domain.com, any username at domain.com. If I put an at sign here, it won't forward labdomain.com. If I put *@, it says I'm only going to forward any user from domain.com, but I won't forward anything from lab.domain.com because the at sign. So these wildcards are basically anything goes before this. And if you put an at sign here, what you've said is the domain name itself is not wildcarded, but by putting a star in front of the at, any user at this single domain name can be forwarded.
You
normally you would want to. For example, here at eSoft, we would want this structure, staresoft.com, so that lab.esoft.com and all these others could forward through it. But in another situation where you've sold Joe's Garage a domain, you wouldn't want to do this, because then people could say, you know, me at me.joes.com and forward through you. You may want to, you may not. I mean, the case, the situation dictates what you want. But the difference is, if you put the at sign here, subdomains don't count. So that's how you restrict what the SMTP forwarder will forward. And if you just put forward from asterisk, you become a promiscuous mail forwarder, which means you'll forward anything from anybody. Reject, again, same thing. You're just picking out what you will reject. Now, this starts to see a problem shape up. If I say reject stardomain.com, forward from stardomain.com, and then I put pop3 fill at domain.com, when a message to fill at domain.com comes in, it matches all three of them, doesn't it? But why would I want that structure that way? Well, because there's a binding. POP3 is a destination. UUCP is a destination. A match to a destination wins. That says put it here. Stop the mail's traveling, and we can stop it traveling. This is its destination. So that's always the strongest if it multiple matches. The next thing is, now let's say that I send one to bob@domain.com. Well, I don't have a destination if it only says fill. But now I match both reject to and forward from. Well, if it matches a reject to, bob@domain.com, it'll reject it. Because I don't want to accept this mail at all. Unless I have a destination for it. If the from works on the from field, not the to field. So I'll accept a forward from if I don't have a destination for it, if I'm not supposed to reject it because of the to field, but the from field says I will forward it, then I'll take it in and send it on its way. Yes?
Yesterday, my boss said I moved that first. I got a problem recently, went on for about 3 days, where they said it could not resolve the host name address when I tried to send email. It was going to AOL.com. So
right. That one, I thought I did cover that yesterday, but I'll be glad to do it again. That's a DNS issue. Because what it's saying is, I tried to look up AOL.com, and I got no answer. There was no DNS for it. I couldn't get through and find out that DNS name. So can't resolve host name means the part after the at sign. The DNS could not look it up and turn it into a MX record and an IP address. Right. Now, after yesterday, how in the world could that happen? That could happen if your system did not have that AOL.com address cached. It had to go to the root server. The root server sent it to a name server, and it couldn't get to the name server. That would be one example of how that could happen. And let's say that name server was inaccessible for a period of time, that would look just like what you saw. Now, why is it inaccessible? Could be routing issues, could be the server's overloaded, could be a lot of reasons why I couldn't get to it. Ultimately, that's going to be one of those things where you will find, if you send that same message again later, it'll go through just fine. Because at that point, it went to look up the DNS, and now it worked. Now it got the answer. So in essence, if you're going to set up a POP mailbox, what you would say is POP3 fill at domain.com, forward from fill at domain.com, and reject to fill at domain.com. And that way, any messages addressed to fill at domain.com would be or no, reject2stardomain.com. Not, you wouldn't put the name here. reject2stardomain.com, but pop3phil@domain.com, and maybe Bob and any others you had. That way, a message addressed to domain.com that came in your SMTP, if it matched one of these pop boxes, that's a destination, it would go there. If it didn't, it would know it's supposed to reject it, and at the moment of touch on SMTP, it would say, there's no user here by that name, I can't take the message. That way, if somebody sent one to fred@domain.com, where you don't have a pop mailbox, this would cause it to be rejected immediately when it got here. Forward from domain.com says anyone with this domain.com extension, when they connect with Eudora or whatever and try to use you as a forwarder, since their message comes from phil@domain.com or joe@domain.com, this says that your forwarder will accept that message to be forwarded no matter who it's sent to. Unless it's sent to something it's supposed to reject locally. So if they sent you a message at that level to fred@domain.com, and there is no pop box for Fred, let's analyze how that would work. It says it forward from, so it would take the message on that level, because it's from somebody at domain.com, but it's also to fred@domain.com, which isn't a destination, so it should be rejected, so that message would not be accepted, because the rejection will always trump everything. So ultimately, when you set up the email here, you really just have to decide, who do you want to take as a destination? And destinations are pop boxes or UUCP gateways. And you list all the things you want to take as destinations. Then you make the second decision. Who is allowed to send your server email to be reset and forwarded on out into the internet? Who are you going to perform that service for? And you put in all the forward froms that match that, all the way down to a single one that says forward from asterisk, if you don't care, if you let anybody do it. If you want to restrict it, then you have to list everybody for whom it's okay to do that. And then, for domains that you have made be destinations in some form, if there's anything about that domain that could come in that you don't accept, you put reject twos. The question is it matter what order these are listed in the mail off file? No. It processes them all and then works out the priority among them internally, so you can put them in there in any order you want. Yes? Right. Right. That's normally the case. Yes, the question is, if you want all of your users from a single domain to be allowed to run their users to run their email from them, you would do forward from stardomain.com or possibly star@domain.com if you don't want to allow subdomains to forward. As we said before, remember stardomain.com would let lab.domain.com forward and everything else. star@domain.com would not let lab. It would be let any user in only exactmatchdomain.com. Yes? If you have more than one, you would do a forward from for each one. Yes, that's correct. And the same on a reject too.
That's my problem. Because it's going off one of my other domains.
If you only, if you, when you put a forward from other than asterisk in here, what you have, you've flipped the world over and said, no one can forward through me except who I list. And so if you don't list them, they'll get bounced when they try to forward. Yes.
You might want to preface some of the folks that are using ICBM ICBM, you've got to go in and manually.
That's correct, yes. With ICBM, which we're going to show you a little bit later here, all of this is done for you when you fill out the accounts. You fill out the accounts, and you put in your services, and you say if somebody gets a pop box or if they're, you know, whatever they get, ICBM will generate all of this for you appropriately. Absolutely. It generates the domain names, it'll put them in your server, it'll do everything for you. So after showing you how it all works in details, then I can tell you that ICBM, if you buy it as an add-on product, will do all of it for you. But that's, you're ahead of me. You're helping my sales pitch. You're advancing it here. Yes?
What is the current number of email addresses?
Several thousand. It's unlimited. Except by disk space to hold this file. Because the system, when it gets a message, rips through this file to figure out what to do. And so it's literally unlimited except by the file size.
Okay, but do you have alternate secondary mail server?
No. There's only one SMTP server active on an iPad, and it... You can't. You're saying, could I give another IP address to a different mail server with a different set of authorization? Is that the question you're asking?
No, I'm trying to compare it to.
Oh, absolutely. That's all DNS related. Remember the MX records?
Yeah.
They're what determine the whether you have multiple mail servers. That has nothing to do with the mail server itself. That's a DNS function.
Other than you'd have to have this file.
Well, you'd have to have another mail server set up somewhere else with similar considerations, yes. And that could be an iPad, or that second one could be a SendMail Unix box. I mean, what they are is unimportant. That's your DNS MX, how you set that up is where you get the overflow. I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. Yeah, I was trying to figure out why you would want to run multiple SMTP servers on one machine. You can't do it on an iPad, but I was curious why you would want to. Right. Question is, if you have a gateway to your LAN and you have POP3 email boxes, how would you set that up? All the gateway customers that are destinations would be set up with UUCPs that match them. All the POPmail people would be set up with POP3s that match them, and that's it. Because then gateway software to a gateway user, when it comes in, would match a UUCP command and dump into its gateway directory where the gateway software is waiting to see it. The gateway software would then dump it back out into the outbound directory where it would get sent. Yes?
I have some customers who are running machines that are not capable of using Windows, and they want to know if there's any way that I can set up an email account for them.
If they can't run a POPmail client, you can't set up a POPmail account for them.
You can't just use some sort of a program to dial in and connect.
There's, as you see this whole thing is set up, there is no place to dial in and connect. It's all done on the protocols. It's either an SMTP server client. Everything in the internet's client server. The only thing you can connect to a server with is an appropriate client, and the only way you can make the connection is with TCP/IP.
Well, how do they do it if they tell me that another provider has a Unix system?
Then that's how you would do it. You'd put up a Unix system and let them run mail. What you're doing is using Unix in that case to set up a BBS for them to call into that lets them access
these
things. That's all it is. You can do that with TBBS, you can do that with anything if that's what you want to do. And that bridges with this gateway in and out of the mail system. And that's exactly what's happening on that Unix box. You run a program called probably Mail, or there's a number of programs you run on Unix that will access this mail system. And it's basically gatewaying to and from an interactive program that runs against the mail system. But ultimately, in its restricted way, in that case, that provider has set up a Unix box as a BBS for somebody with a terminal program to call into and type on the Unix system and run it as a BBS. And the Unix system is then interfacing with all of this at the TCP/IP level. And you can do that with TBBS. You can do that with, you know, but it's a whole separate function you're setting up only for people who aren't TCP/IP aware. Yes. Right. The real truth of the matter is that DOS is not set up to do TCP/IP because it doesn't have naturally the layered structure that Windows and others do. If you know how you set it up, you set up the WinSOC and then you set up the clients. You're in a multitasking setting when you do that. To do that in DOS, you're going to have to write a set of things that all fit together to simulate that layered structure at the DOS level. And it just haven't been very many people want to buy it, so there hasn't been a lot of it done. Most of it that has been done at universities and schools and stuff, and a lot of it is 80% finished. Crap? You say crap? But yes, that's the truth. But in essence, that's what this is for. There's a few more options that I'm not going to go into detail on today, but I'm trying to get you the concepts today so you can work with it in your manual. And that is, there's some specialty things, like you can put a reject from in here. Reject from says any message that has this as the from line, just bounce it. I don't care about any of the rest of the rules. So if you've got a particular user that sends email, he qualifies to forward from you or whatever, and you just want to put in one line and say, if it comes from george@bozo.com, just don't let it in. You can put in reject from to do that.